By the end of the day, in the vision house of all members, get this report be there so that members can go home, read this report, so that they might have a better input when we meet with them tomorrow.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a point of correction there, please?
Yes.
The South African Institute for Drug Free Sport, some months ago, when we were first to appear before this committee, delivered 510 reports to Parliament, as is the standard procedure. So the reports, contrary to your assertion, were delivered to Parliament, to the officers of, I think it was the librarian, Mr. Palmer, as is done on an annual basis. So we accept no responsibility for the fact that the reports have not reached the honourable members of this committee and of Parliament generally. It's rather unfortunate that you haven't received the report, but we've fulfilled our responsibility in delivering those reports to Parliament.
With due respect, there's something wrong with this the drug free sport. Maybe they don't understand how the system works. It is correct that they would send reports to Parliament. But with regard to the committee that they account to, the reports are specifically delivered to the Secretary of the Committee to have those distributed to the members of the committee. Because if you send information to Mr. Palmer will generally distribute it to all members of Parliament. How he does that, that's another matter. But the committee of the Secretary is the one who takes responsibility document directed to a particular specific committee. I think it's a question of understanding how the system works.
Mr. Chairman, can I intervene?
I want to clear this thing because I think it is right in terms of how this matter is done. Or how these reports are going to come into the bottom line. Can you explain that?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the procedure is that the federation or the institution that would send copies to Parliament to Mr. Palmer, but Mr. Palmer cannot distribute them or say they have been tabled until or unless the department, that is the parliamentary diagnosis, sends a written letter to Mr. Palmer, then they put it in the paper. That's the understanding of this. And I went there a council for training prior to today, and even now I was there. I searched with Mr. Palmer, there is nothing. But I tend to believe what they
it is not the responsibility of the drug free. The drug free has done exactly what should happen, or they have sent the documents to the Palmer. And if Mr. Palmer does not know what those documents are, it is not their responsibility. And I am not going to go on with the meeting as a disadvantaged member when the documents are not there. And it is not, again, on record, the responsibility of, or the fault of the drug-free committee. They have sent that to Mr. Palmer, and those documents were supposed to be handed over long ago to members of the portfolio committee. I therefore say this meeting is not going to go on. You see, we are setting wrong precedents in this. When documents are not available and then we rely on the PowerPoint there. And when people arrive late, they didn't do their work. And members of parliament remain on the receiving end of suffering. I think that thing must end. Today we're not going to go on with this meeting and not going to report to parliament of this whole downfall between Mr. Palmer and the office police around this duty. But this meeting is not going to carry on this thing when nobody has the clue of what is happening. It is not the fault of the Trump police force. Thomas?
Chairperson, yes, I concur with you. We can't have a meeting without the information, Chairperson. And you said before the end of the day, Chairperson, we need it as soon as possible. I want to say that to the whole and I want to tell you, Chairperson.
Now, yes, Mr.
Honourable Chairperson, I guess I, I first want to thank you for vindicating the Institute for Drug-Free Sport, that we've indeed followed the correct procedure. Secondly, I think the secretary of this committee has been running around looking for it, and I think he indicated to us before this meeting that I think the documents are sitting somewhere in Pretoria. Thirdly, I think we're willing to make the presentation available to the members of this committee if they want to study it or if they want it before them today. But I think that by this action, the Institute for Drug-Free Sport has been prejudiced in the sense that we've come here prepared for this presentation, and I'm certainly not available tomorrow. The CEO is out of the country, so we're not going to be available tomorrow to do this presentation. So if we don't do it today, we've got to reschedule it for another time.
No, I don't want Drug-Free to have that attitude. Because when I send a first letter to Drug-Free, they have requested an apology. I have accepted that apology in good faith. And therefore, the Drug-Free has no any other record but to accept the downfall that has happened. They can't look at it one way. When they write a letter and say, Chairman says, well, somebody is going to a meeting there and there, can you schedule another meeting? Then schedule another meeting. When such a thing happens to Parliament, they are not in a position to do that. This meeting will continue tomorrow.
Mr. Chairperson, unfortunately, we're not available for it.
Yes, if this meeting, I just want to advise, if the clause here, the annual report is not presented, the consequences are, in terms of the new act of the money bill, consequences are, it's likely to impact on you because it is this committee that has to make a determination of funding of drug report. So I just want to make you aware that what could be the case.
Mr. Chairperson, I think I need to clarify my position, and I'm not stating that the Institute for Drug-Free Sport is unwilling to present before the committee. All I'm saying is that we need to look for a time which is where we are available to do the presentation, and unfortunately it's not tomorrow. So I'm saying that we are willing and committed to present before this committee as we have always been, and I think I thank this committee for their support always, but unfortunately I'm not available tomorrow, and the CEO is out of the country, so if the meeting wants to go ahead, they certainly can do that. I don't know who's going to do the presentation to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. You have received my initial letter 2 months ago, and you reported that you are requesting that the meeting should not be held as scheduled by Parliament. We accepted that. And we don't have any other time, because this is the last week for us, and then we're going on the recess up until next week, and then because the period for the election is very short. But if you will not be there tomorrow, this meeting is not going to be scheduled, and then call it by the time Parliament is going to Parliament. All members at least must receive copies of this document so that at least must go and read. I think
Mr. Chairperson, can I make a compromise solution?
Yes.
If you schedule the meeting for 3 o'clock tomorrow, we can make it, but not earlier than that.
Yeah, we'll schedule the meeting for 3 o'clock. What is 3 o'clock tomorrow? It's the whole city tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now we'll go on with them up until 8 o'clock. And after meeting the whole city, Nelson Mandela and others, from issues of the city, we'll go with them up until 8. We'll ask them to come at least at 4. And then we must be able to do that. Otherwise, we're disadvantaging them. It is not their problem. It is the problem of the system here in Parliament. It is not their problem. We inform you, Chairperson, what we intend to do. Firstly, so that to all of us as members, we just have to put our heads together. But we will do something that is likely to disadvantage you or any other person. But we'll do something about it. Before the end of the day, you will receive That was requesting for a speedy interaction between SASCOC and the portfolio company. And now South Coast has finished the report of both the Olympic and the Paralympic. But in the light of time, pretending to respond to the PA that because the report was handed over last week and was completed last week, we think that that report will interact with it in one day next year. So I want members to agree that the route that we have to take, because completely there is no time where we could schedule as the matter of agency in that letter. All of us have agreed that it's agency, but at the time it's against our suffering. Yes, for scheduling it next year. Thank you for that. Yes, the Reverend Bangalese. Thank you very much. We will go straight to the issues. Okay, we'll receive the apology for the Director General. And then we'll send Mrs. Bachelor on the for science support service, who will be able to give clarity or take some notes on behalf of the party. Elson, one thing that the Auditor General is raised today, which we are going to be very soon in dealing with the pattern of the departments and patterns of provinces and local governments. When the Auditor General interacts with any body, they just bring ordinary junior people in the meeting of that nature, where issues of auditing of the public money is just taken as, by the way, we send any other person. And I want to say, our department was not counted in those people. And I want to say, the department must never fall into that trap, because accounting officers, as Director General, are the people that have to be there on the briefing by the Auditor General staff on issues of financial management, financial systems, and all other requirements of the Auditor General in terms of having efficient and a quality financial control of the department. So I'm pleading that whilst you are doing the right thing in sending senior people there, and a person who has a direct responsibility is the Director General at the office. I don't think he will send any other people, but first, that responsibility rests in to respect the office of the Director General. And I think our interaction I want to see the. I want to go straight to the issues that we raised yesterday. They're giving a new book, and book was marked for Lucas. So that I must see. I want to go to the page of the team on Friday or this book.
The chairperson, can I take my opinion?
Yes. Thank you. You will be informed later, Doc. Okay, thank you. Yes,
is to read the report of the Auditor General to Parliament of Indonesia, the statements and performance information on both agencies. That there is good. There are letters that you raise as issues that need to be attended. One of those things was the Santre Man who worked in South Africa for ecstasy. I'm not sure when he came, but on the how you expecting that the next time there should be no emphasis of matter, or what has happened that has led to your department to necessarily say, this is not necessarily a disclaimer, but it's an emphasis of matter, and then how it should be treated by the department when you raise that signal that it is an emphasis of matter. We just want to keep us all on board because we are not there, like you said, very crude around issues of counting and all that. But when it's an emphasis of matter to ourselves, raises an alarm. Now we want to switch off that alarm if there's an issue of imminent blowing of the alarm.
Second challenge, this There are five items that can be found in the document. One of them is an issue, for example, of food consent. It's a food consent problem in the financial stability of the enterprise that is talking about in the document that we raised there. That is a matter of concern for the members to act as the type of institution. The other one might be, for example, the issue of the undermining the law, where it is not much, so material as to us to make it a complication, but it is nevertheless done in contravention of the law, and this thing, the general attention of the member that is based on the effect that should not have taken the role in government. This is the case in terms, for example, this transfer payment. In terms of the federal regulation, transfer payment should be authorized by the federal.
Because the argument of the department is that when that transaction is derived from the goods and services, in their view, doesn't necessarily require the national treasurer to authorize that, because it is taken on the bench of the goods and services, which is not necessarily required for that. Is that a correct view? That is what we have.
In this regard, transfer payments are one of those payments that the department cannot exceed. It cannot go over and above the amount of budget is for. And that, in terms of general regulation 61, it says specifically that they are not allowed to increase transfer payments.
What is the threshold for the transfer fee?
Chair, there is no threshold. They're not allowed to go over 1 cent over the amount that was approved by Parliament.
On the goods and services?
No, on the transfer payment. It's a separate item in the budget, the transfer payment. They're not allowed to
transfer any other money from anywhere else.
Without authorization
from National Treasury.
But on the interaction between your office and the and the department, did you understand the policy that has led to that transfer? And that is why you place it on the emphasis of matter as something not extremely irregular or irregular, but as something that needs to be taken care of, that it must not happen.
Yes,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. So those were the matters that you raised under the emphasis of matter. The other one that was responsible to women concern the payment of 100,000, the payment of 1 million then. There also the treasury regulation rule 21.1.1 will be such payment for donation, sponsorship, and fees that is greater than 100,000. So that's what the rate of payment is. That's why we raise that kind of emphasis of matter. The other item that is under the regular payment has been here, the 8% performance bonus fee amounting to 1,000,000 rand. That has been fixed up. That's what the regular is saying, that no performance assessment has been performed at two parts of the public service regulation. That's what the regular is saying. The other one was the transitional allowances amounting to 1.82 million. So, for me, there has been no appointment letter, acceptance letter for performance contracts that were provided. The other one involves payment of a new lease amounting to 150,000, which was also done against the 2020 for such payment.
Let's talk about mutual. Let's give other numbers. I want us to talk about the interest policy of it's a letter of emphasis, but also it is termed as irregular in picking up in what they're saying. It's irregular. And then we said it's irregular because there were no performance assessments that have been performed as the class by the public system. There is that things that have been why is the Office of the Auditor General not saying this is a disclaimer or is an irregular? Because if you pay up or unauthorized expense, if you pay up without performance, assessment, contract, and all those other things, you're paying something a spook because there's nothing that informs you on payment of them. And then what was the opinion of the Public Service Administration on this matter, if there's any that we have received from the department, which we have an opinion from the Public Service Administration on this matter?
Chair, if I might, in the previous report, the 0607 report, this matter was qualified. It was a qualification. And in that qualification, the AG said that this should be regarded as irregular expenditure and treated as such. This was the 07-08 year was the first year that this was actually disclosed as irregular expenditure in their financials, and that's why we're just highlighting it this year in the 07-08 report on the expenditure matter.
How are you expecting the department to correct it? Because you are going to raise it again in this review, and then you give me 3 years in succession to raise this matter. How is the Office of the Auditor General intending that this matter must be resolved? We will assist you in calling a department and making sure that the department complies to your advice so that this matter must be raised to that.
Chief, we have recommended that the department investigate this matter. They are really investigating this problem now, and they are considering recovering these money from the individual. That is the latest that I know that.
Because we have contacted the department itself before we called you and before we sent you in the review of the committee on the opinion which was sent by the department from the Public Service Administration. The Public Service Administration has informed the department, authorities of the department, that you cannot pay those amounts. And the subsequent submission was given to the ministry by the department, which has led to the payment of this 8%. And our view is that, and even right at the bottom, the opinion of the legal advisor says, this matter must be treated as a matter where the recipient are not necessarily their own fault, and therefore it must be treated. Because our view is that you cannot go and squeeze the people who receive this money from the department when firstly you have received an opinion that says don't pay, and secondly you go and just twist it around, and finally it is authorized, and in tech it must be regarded as something that was not supposed to happen. Because our view, as a committee, we're not discouraging those who receive the money to pay. But if they don't have, the responsibility rests with the one who has made the submission, and he must pay that money. That is the view that we have as a committee. And until an empirical evidence is given to us that they were part of misleading the authority in making that submission, I just want to hear your view on.
COPA also alluded to this fact that the individual that actually approved the finances, and the investigation, that was their feeling involved like I said, the department is currently busy investigating this matter, and we will have to follow up with the department.
Who will follow up with it? But I'm sure the Auditor General will office will convey this to the Auditor General. We have that view as a colleague. But you can't give me the money which you have solicited from me, and then you gave me, and in hell, I must be punished for your fault of soliciting money when firstly there were signals that this money that you want to solicit is wrong because it has no base and it has no requirements of the anexa that suggests that all of you qualify for that money. And then in hell, the money is again, the submission is turned around. And the money is given to people. Then you squeeze the last drop of your blood to the United States. However, we're not discouraging the members in the department not to pay that money. As you say, it cannot be a matter of treason to them because it is not their fault. The full responsibility. In fact, in terms of your public, of your Auditor General, PMA, the issue rests with an accounting officer with the Director General. The whole matter rests with him. He's supposed to carry a full responsibility on this matter because all the submissions are generated from him to the minister, and then the minister approved on the advice of the auditor and the PM said that any other irregularity, directly or indirectly, is held accountable for this kind of thing.
In coming here, I think to the next step that we would advise the department to seek the motion of the general to ask the police to do the police in the coming here to the
this matter of the 1 point of the 8%. We've heard what the department is saying. The department is investigating this matter. They will invite to the department. But if everything doesn't go well, the advice is the department must take a continuation so that by the office of the accounting, that the accounting, general. And so that it is this matter could be taken on the board. So that you see, Mr. Stinkham and the gentleman, we want to work clinically with the department that all matters of finance cannot escape our hands without really having the clarity and interaction. Because most of the time we have a fault of not dealing these matters of finance in a very robust clinical way. And then you find that they are recurring every year. This matter cannot come for 2 years. And then it must go for the 30 years, and then we plan to pay a blind eye to the department about it. So we'll come to that. Yes, Makut.
No, Chairperson, I think that I was also wanting to say, then how long are you going to carry it over and over? Now, have you come up to say, now is the time that we must go for it, and if we did, we should find ways and means of dealing with it, of doing with it away. Okay. Away.
There is a guideline at the National Treasury to deal with irregular expenditure. The guideline, National Treasury Practitioner 4 of 2008-09. It requires that they need to make certain submissions and for configuration, etc., etc., and get rid of irregular expenditure. Get it condemned, that's very important.
Now, the issue of this one, we know clearly how it is going to end. I just mean the issue of the transfer from the goods and services to Central Africa. How are we intending it to be handled? Or now that it has been an emphasis of matter, let's say you're likely not to see it, or do you require certain explanation and certain overriding things for you to be able to get rid of it as much as you can?
Okay, in terms of this practice note that I referred to, 4 of 0809, the department was going to make a submission to National Treasury to get it condoned.
Thank you. The 1.7%.
Chairperson, my reflection of the last meeting was that the CFO had done that. But I will check it out and then report back to you and to the AG's office, through the DG's office, to see if that has been done.
Chair, all the various categories of irregular expenditures spelled out in this guideline, the practice note of National Treasury, and must be dealt with accordingly. And then they will disappear from the financial statement.
Yeah, you see, why is this problem really asking? We are not privy to internal communication with you and the department. Now, when they come here, and these things are like this, we don't know the next step to be taken to remove it so that it must be something that has been handled. But now you're telling very clear to us, step by step, because who would say to the department, have you made a submission to the National Treasury for the condemnation of this? No, we have not. Then I said, but when we interact with the Auditor General's office, this was supposed to be a direction. Have you seek the condemnation of the 8% of the bonuses that were given and all those things? But there should be steps that are towards responding to all these things that you... We can't just say it's emphasis of matter. Then we leave them like that, and then there is nothing that we are assisting in the department, in our oversight, for the department to deal with those little things that finally are going to make this thing to be late to them.
Chair, if they're not going to deal with it according to this practice note, they're going to remain in the financial statements as not condoned. So they will have to make them submissions and get them condoned.
The 1.86 million for the tournament also requires the same process. Yes. About the last one that you raised on the emphasis.
There was the payment for a new week amount of 150,000, which has been paid, and for which evidence is required by the determination of the need for tax policy had not been made available to the policy.
Everything else is written there. Can you remind us? On the unpaid gift and all.
I think Jan would also be able to help. My understanding of this is that at the end of the leave cycle, where members of staff have not taken the leave that is required in terms of the public service regulation, you need to have a paper trail in place which says that they have applied for leave and have been refused it before they get paid out, I think. But Jan needs to clarify that.
Yeah, sure, that's absolutely correct. It needs to be denied in terms of operational requirements. So there must be a track that didn't happen only once. It must have happened throughout the lead cycle.
Yeah.
Then the lead can get paid out.
But here, according to how I read your view here, is that the 160,000 has been paid, and there were no supporting documents that justify the payment. Now, I just want to know, in the department, how do you give a person
payment when it doesn't give you justification for the leave that he has not been taken? That is a question that we've been asking to the department all the time. And say, how do you do that? Because, yes, the department that is paid, how do you pay when a person, there is no substantial evidence that this person deserves the money because he didn't get the leave, and therefore that has been approved by whoever this person accounts to. How is that happening?
Again, Jan will assist. In terms of the normal departmental procedures that we follow, every person is required to complete a leave form and seek approval of their supervisor for that leave to be taken. I think that in terms of the deadline, which I think is the 30th of June each year, if you don't take a certain number of days, then you automatically lose them. So I think that what may be happening is that people are submitting leave forms, and because it's middle of the year, effectively, and people are into the swing of things and projects are happening quite fast, I think that there is a process where leave is being denied. And I think that the difference from our interpretation and the AG's interpretation is that it's not necessarily going to be denied consistently throughout the year or happening more than once just before the June deadline. But Jan would need to clarify that. So in terms of our procedures, everyone is required to fill in the leave form, and it has to go through the supervisor for approval or denial. And if it's denied, then there needs to be, there is space on the form for reasons to be provided why it's denied.
Jamie, yeah. We couldn't find the consistent denial or proof evidence that these were submitted and denied. But there's also another matter of departments that must be noted to the staff that they're going to forfeit leave if they don't take it before a certain period of time. And that didn't happen on time. Could have happened sooner.
Yes,
please.
I think I'm saying 01-20 is Macau government. I think that if you read that and look at the, there seems to be no implementation of it. Because if you look at the department had an audit committee in operation throughout the financial year, no. And you get the department had an internal audit function in operation throughout the financial year, no. And the prior year's internal audit recommendations, have they been substantially implemented? No. So there's possibility that there's no action being taken by the...
Mr.
Jackson?
On the issues that they look at today, how far are you in making sure that those responsibilities are there to respond to management of those financial issues? Because those committees that you're talking about are a hub of proper responding to the financial management.
Chairperson, we do have an internal audit committee. I think that the issue there is the word throughout. Because the audit committee was convened, I think, late in the financial year and not at the beginning of the financial year. So there is an audit committee in place, and in fact there was an audit committee meeting yesterday in the department. Secondly, in terms of the internal audit function, for a period of this financial year, the internal audit function was outsourced. And while we were building up the capacity within the department and appointing people, so by the end of the financial, not by the end of the year, the financial year, but subsequent to the end of the financial year, we now have a fully staffed internal audit section within the department as well. So those issues have been addressed during the last financial year as well as during this current financial year.
But if they were addressed during the last financial year, they could have not reflected from the auditor's point of view. If they were there, in view of these things are not there. That is why it's raising them, isolating them. It means they are not there.
We have had that debate with the AG's office, and perhaps they can respond to that, because we have had serious discussions on that.
Chair, this is a new table that was brought into the AG report, and this governance issue brought into the AG report format. This doesn't leave room for having an audit committee or part of the financial year, or at least an audit for part of the financial year, must be screwed up. In this case, that wasn't screwed up. However, they do have an audit committee, a functional audit committee in place now, and they have sourced internal audits to a large extent. We met internal auditor when was it? Yes, yeah, no, not
yesterday. It started in October.
Why doesn't was there no this committee throughout, and then at a particular time, then you set up that committee? Why was it not there? Is it not a requirement of the Public Finance Management Act? Because this department, in our view, has been there for 15 years now, dead. And the Public Service Management Act has been there at least for more than 10 years. And therefore, it suggests that throughout that time, because last year we didn't get a qualified report. You didn't get a qualified report. It means the Auditor General was aware that the committee is there throughout. And this year, the Office of the Auditor General said there was no such a committee throughout. What happened to it? Because if that was the case, they could have picked it up last year and say there is no such committee that enhanced the proper financial system in the department. You could have said that. But he didn't say that because you get a good report last year. This year, you don't get a good report. It's raising this. It means there was a breakage somewhere on the good thing that we've been having all the time. You break it and then you fix it up and say, these are the problems.
Chair, if I may, some of the members and the chief person actually resigned from the audit committee, so that was quite a problem to get new members and a new chairperson. And they eventually managed to appoint a new committee on the drop of the chief of 2007.
Doesn't exclude your view that you have put on this picture. Whether the chairperson is not there or not, anybody who picks up this document as a public person picks it up and say there's been a gap that the department take a risk. There's a huge risk that they take. A risk of some money would fall into the crack. And that was the risk that they take. And then it doesn't address. I hear the sympathy and the sentiment from the Office of the Auditor General. But I say, you cannot risk even on a day not to have this kind of a very key important committee in the department. Because if that was the case, if the stand-up and the gentlemen, they would have not put it here, they would have said, we understood that there were difficulties in appointing the chair and other members to resign. But they don't take it. That's why we are getting a little bit impatient with the department. They don't say that.
Yes, Chairperson, I think that the fairly robust discussions that we've had with the AG's office indicate that, and as Jan has just said, this is a new table. This is the first time that it's appearing in the audited financial report. And it's a yes-no answer. Did you have an audit committee in place throughout the year? And if you don't, then it's a no. Is their argument, and we're saying, but it has been there. You know, even though there was a period when the resignations were being addressed, their position is it's not there throughout the year. So that's where I'm not in any way trying to belittle the issue of importance of having an audit committee there, because it is critically important. It's part of the King II report, and it's effectively part of the PFMA equivalent, etc. So, you know, it's not something that we take lightly in any way whatsoever, but the issue is that word throughout. So that's where the debate has been with the AG's office.
Can I just come in? I think that this is the new comment of ours, because we have changed our comment to try to make it more friendly, and also try to make sure that the things are of critical importance, because we are not in control of influence. Identify those who the absence of the audit committee and the internal audit function has been in one of two of the most critical. So this is the first time that we have actually made a table for the doing the best of the government that we consider to be important. The other methods are seeing, for example, the submission of the information that we require on time. In this case, the department has done well this year, so they have a number of those issues. Yeah, but in the previous year, we would not have highlighted the same. Yes, Malcolm?
Chair, I wanted to check something here in this committee, because with the it's not a big committee, but I wanted to check as to maybe the Auditor General doesn't recognize the committee if the members, if one or two members have resigned, or if the department that didn't monitor the committee. Because to me, if one or two members resigned, it doesn't matter. The government that committee is not going to operate. If it's them who do not recognize the committee, if the members are no longer on there, or if the department who failed to monitor the committee, because the committee is there. Now, what is it that leads the Auditor General to say, to write down that the audit committee wasn't there? What is it? What is it? What is it?
Can I explain what you are saying? The number one thing, when the committee is not there, how big is the committee? When the chair and the other person is not there, and then does it affect the composition of the committee? Because in their understanding, is that there were two or three people that were there. Maybe that committee is composed of three people, and therefore, if three people are not there, it means there is no committee. That what is very clear in what you are saying, and in what the department is saying. The department says the question of throughout is a very problematic thing. Because let's assume then that the committee has been there for 3 terms. On the last term, the committee it doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean the department didn't have the committee. But if the department didn't have the committee throughout. But you can't, neither the department nor the Office of the Auditor General can say there was never a committee there. The only thing that is an argument, which I think we have discussed with the department, is how do we deal with the space that has been taken by the committee at the time when it was there? And how do you deal with the space that the committee has not been there for? And therefore, it cannot be a way the committee was not there throughout. Or it cannot be said a committee was there. And that is a little bit of an issue. But let's not make an issue out of that. But I think that person has a point. I think you need to do something around how do we deal with the committee was not there throughout the year. When you say throughout, in me I'll say throughout the year. And the department will say no, which is not throughout the year. It is true that the committee was not there for only 2 terms or 1 term, and therefore it cannot be throughout.
So I can come in that we are issuing a reporting on the financial year that is 12 months from 1st of April 2006 to 31st March 2007, 2008. So if for 1 term, talking about what happened throughout the year. Anything could have happened during the time that there was not a committee. In terms of the act, given the approach to the committee as well.
Okay. See, the other matter of one or two members leaving, they've got four members, that's including the two leaves. They haven't got a quorum.
I think we should recognize that the is a strike problem. And then it should be rectified. Because if it's not rectified, it cannot continue. And if you do half question, and things slip through the cracks. But I think if we have to take it and say that this has to be rectified, maybe we can go forward.
But we will also find out from the office. We'll communicate between our office of the committee and the committee on this matter after the first quarter of the last year, so that we can check how far has the department responded on this. Because we're trying to keep now a closer tie quarterly meetings with the department, although they're dodging those meetings, but at least we're trying to keep quarterly meetings so that we keep track on the things that they have to be productive on them and see what are the things that are remaining there. Let's go to the last item and then we quickly have meals and then from there we must come and finish, because I think we'll be going to the last session of the disclaimer now. We'll qualify as well.
Other item related to transitional allowances amounting to 1,804,000, which pertains to staff during 2006 and 2007. There was no appointment letters or acceptance letters for the foreign conduct that were provided to the auditor for those staff.
And then how is it possible for the department? I got one of your letters, the appointment letters, and even the I read this letter, but I don't get it again. I just want to know when payment or appointment of people is done in the department. What are the documents that remain to the department that you can provide to the system? Is that 83 appointment letter or what? What is this that remains in the department as a proof that this person has been appointed? And even if probably the appointment letter is not there, but those documents would give a certain idea to the auditor general of not paying a spook, but paying a really person who exists in the department.
Chairperson, I have to admit that this happened before my time, and so I'm not absolutely familiar with the details. But in terms of the current procedures and my understanding of previous procedures is that, if you remember, this is part of the transition phase between the Sports Commission and being dissolved and coming into the department. I think the Sports Commission was dissolved somewhere around the middle of 2005, and it took a long time. So that there were staff who were placed into positions in the meantime while they were being properly finally placed. And were effectively put into positions which may or may not have been in their pay class. My understanding is that with all of those things, that there would have been letters issued to say that you are now placed in this particular post and you will be acting in this post until further notice, type of stuff. But that is my understanding of what happens in the department. Certainly now that if we appoint someone to act on our behalf. If we're out of the office, for example, then we do it in writing. And then that gets lodged in that person's personnel file, and it goes on to personal in terms of any increments to the salary for that period of time that may be paid, etc. But the AG would have to go into the specifics of this particular instance, because I'm not familiar with it.
Can we get into the details of
that? Actually, that's quite correct. This has to do with the transitional period when they dissolve the Commission, and staff were placed in other positions within supporting that and they were basically acting there. And they, I don't have all the background, but they decided that they must compensate these individuals. They couldn't use the acting provision in the public service regulation. So somebody came up with the word conditional allowance that was never not provided for within any regulation. We couldn't find any letters, appointment letters, in these so-called transitional positions or acceptance of this position by the relevant officials or a job description for that specific acting or temporary position. And that's why we actually reported on this in the 0607 report. We qualified on this. And the agent said that this should be regarded as irregular, and again that's how, similar to the bonuses, that's how we plan it in on the irregular expenditure in the financial statement. And this must be dealt with in the same way as the bonuses. There must be a submission made, and there must be a request possible condonement. But I think in all this, in the submission, there will have to be proper reference to the fact that it's been thoroughly investigated. I don't think Treasury is going to consider if it was been properly investigated and motivated, etc. Any other questions?
You see, the department on dismantling doing an amendment on the fourth commission, the department was not ready. And we said it many times. The department was not ready to absorb those people. That is why you find when the department transition absorbed those people, and it just gave them responsibility without at a temporary position, now that they've been amalgamated with the department. The department never gave them the new job description, and which was something different from what they were doing there, and all this. It's what we raised. We are on record and say the department has rushed the amendment around sports commission, and the department was not ready. You have indicated. You have indicated today because you said they were not ready. And I think they have to do what they have to do and explain the amending the sports commission and dissolving the sports commission amalgamated with the Department of Sports and Recreation, and that's where the matter was landed up, and explain and give evidence to the department, because whoever was in charge of this amalgamation, it's not there in the think of now, not there now. And nobody has a proper track of what has happened in the whole amalgamation process. But the law says as soon as you take over that department, you take over that department with all its can of worms. And if they go out and eat you, you are the unfortunate person. So whoever has taken over the department, you have the responsibility to attempt to correct this. And when we come back in the next court, and really must clearly see the attempt of this and the records that are beginning to communicate with the National Treasury in an attempt to correct this matter. I think the Office of the Auditor General will understand that really there's work done in resolving this matter. But we said the department is not ready to take the court from this. The department was never there. From Lucas, the witness. Yes,
no, Chair. I want to get the clarity here, because you see, with that 8% for those bonuses, at least there was a signal to the authorities to say the funds that you're going to utilize are not supposed to be channeled back to you. Although it was not the recipients who got that signal,
at least when they do it, they knew that there was something wrong with it. Now, with this, I got at the same time, when the department is working, is operating, there are also labor interests. And to say for these people who are 18 for so long doing this and that, at the end of the day, how do you compensate them? Now, how do you then fix this similar to the person, to the voluntary? Because I'm just checking the clarity on that. I'm looking at the pressure on the other side.
Now, the working arrangement, of course, is a motivation to the department when they make that substitution, because they could have never, in terms of the labor law, make people to act in certain positions up to a certain period of time, and there is no remuneration that is given back. And therefore, they were complying to the act of the labor that somebody has now been acting on this position, and therefore he must get the remuneration. It will be part of their motivation. And I think they'll be tied to the office of the Auditor General, trying to get more of the substance to can put to National Treasury and on how this matter can be cleared. Because I think there is a relationship going on now with the people that are dealing with the issues of sports, and you must go and seek them and advise. They advise you, and then in your submission, you've carried their advice, because they're looking on all these other things. They know at what level it is likely to be condoned by National Treasury, and just deal with this matter. Are we?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think as you pointed out before, I was able to report on the non-compliance with the law of formality, etc. We understand the circumstances of the penalty without conviction, but this has to comply also with formality that has fallen on the different types of people.
Are we through with the...
Ms. Chair, according to the
Let's break it, because it's getting cold there, and let's just eat for 15 minutes if we can, or 20 minutes, and quickly come back and then we finish.
I had to be upright. Why they were not challenging the
As long as the idea is there, I'm the senior manager.
Thank you. But I will get a chance to do it. Thank you. Look better, understand here?
Hi. I know it's not a very good thing.
I'm the one. That's you.
Sorry?
Yeah, Oh, thank you.
You don't have the number.
by up to the truth. So come and see. It was 328 in 1999.
3 years down the line, I came here. When I was selling that car, it had 150,000 people. I barely sold that. That was my last BMW from the showroom. I would never buy BMW. Because it's nothing. I'm saying it's 525 or 5 whatever. It's nothing. You can take it now, take it to the garage. You can get 20,000 on that car. That's not a problem. Yes, Mercedes Benz can talk language. Even Babu Lucas is driving Mercedes Benz at least.
I'm going to the wheelbarrow.
The 2010 must get to here, because if you don't, if you are not here, you're going to miss one of the biggest festival ever. You must be here.
So you can invite me.
Huh?
You can invite me.
If you are redeployed by the IFP, or you invite me.
You can invite me. You can do
this
about
that's good news, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
That means you are going to invite all of us.
Don't make a mistake about me. It's guaranteed I'm coming. No, those are not coming. I'm sympathizing with you guys. I'll send you some invitations.
Okay, that's it. Let's say I eat measles. I study marathon.
Yeah?
I study marathon.
I'm almost finished. I'm the slowest speaker. Listen, you go early today, not sleeping yet.
Yeah, just when I do the arrangements so I can sleep here, you tell me I don't know. You're right, I know.
Listen, you go today at this early.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just for me, just when you come and prepare, I told that you are sleeping here. When you are prepared, then you are
thinking of it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm missing everything today because really, she has a very beautiful face.
Not the head.
Where I dropped them up until 9 o'clock in the evening is when I can see that there was an agenda of running to the airport. Then I dropped
them. I said no.
I said no, you're not going
to.
No one.
I must remember that.
The old the definition of the job description.
Next round, and then you find everything fine. I'll be coming with my code. pay books and like this year three, next year and before I bring four, and then we must go all those and see whether are we productive or not. But we thank you very much for coming. Yeah? Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. You can be able to go home in time today. Comrades, let's remain a little bit. Your head come closer, and Wendy, come closer.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. What's the name?
Oh,
there are one there. Okay.
Another
temple, I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, just
I don't know. I don't know.